So my name is Frank. I'm an ER doctor in the Troy area, as well as in Western Massachusetts, and live in Columbia County.
People have been protesting a lot, and a lot of questions have come up about how to do that safely, or whether it's possible to be gathered in large groups that way safely during a global pandemic. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So, you know, we've just recently been starting work with the Health Autonomy Clinic at the Sanctuary for Independent Media and the Nature Lab. And so, you know, I'm still very new to the region and to kind of the social organizations that are moving through Troy and Albany. But as is clear in the past week, we are in a new phase of something. This is totally unprecedented. And so, you know, I, among, you know, probably 1,000 other people, went to the rally on Saturday in Albany. I have not been around more than, you know, 5 to 10 people at a time, apart from work, in months, as I'm sure most people there have. And to be surrounded by thousands of people, felt amazing, you know, to be completely honest. To see so many people who obviously in horrific situations, angered by just like a horrific injustice, but to see people coming together and to be marching for justice felt really, really good for my mental health, for my physical health. It was a beautiful day. But yeah, throughout the whole crisis, it's unclear what is safe anymore. Is hugging your grandparents safe? Is, you know, going to the grocery store safe? And is being surrounded by 1,000 people safe? As a medical professional, I don't have a great answer. Because on one hand, yeah, the safe answer is to be locked up in your house. But on another hand, it's clear the mental health aspects of what is happening are going to be more subtle and more spread throughout the population and probably more detrimental than COVID. And I don't mean that as somebody to say that we shouldn't pretend that it's real, but I think the real mental health anxiety and depression that's happening is an untold story. And yeah, you know, to watch the killing of George Floyd on video, as many people have, and to not be able to do something causes a lot of trauma to people. And that is, there's no way to account for the harm that does. So I could never say that people should not do it. You know, myself having been there among many of our friends, they'd say the best way was to do what the almost overwhelming majority of people were doing. 99% were at least wearing masks. I didn't see a lot of close contact, hugging and high fives that you would normally see at a big protest like that. And, you know, for the most part, people were really respectful of distance. You know, I even noticed around people would be considered older, or a few people that I saw in wheelchairs, you know, really maintaining some distance to protect those people.
Are there precautions that people can take ahead of time as they think about attending more actions?
Yeah, I would say there's probably precautions on multiple levels. You know, there's the precaution for COVID, which is probably maybe the easier one, that, yeah, wear a mask, have hand sanitizer on you. I would probably eat beforehand so that you're not having to deal with, you know, washing your hand before you eat. And be around friends, you know, who you know that you're all kind of like in the same area. As a professional, I would say if you're somebody who is chronically ill or somewhat immunocompromised, there are many other ways that you can participate in these movements that don't just involve being on the street. So that's a possibility. But I would also, if somebody has to go, they have to go to a rally. You know, I think the harder thing to be prepared for are probably, you know, the police are probably still your biggest danger out there. And as has been shown in many other cities across the country, the police are going to step up their repression. That is probably going to involve tear gas, which we saw yesterday, pepper spray, which we saw yesterday, and violent arrests. How to prepare for those? I think a lot of that depends on your willingness to be near situations that potentially could get out of hand, could be more than just marching in the street. And if you are going to engage in those, you should. There are many resources online that you can find to think about being prepared, but some simple ones are to know what your level of comfort is, to be ready for that physically as well as materially, and also to have a support group. You know, to have people who know that you're going, know where you are, know where you're going to meet up afterwards, who are going to follow you in case you got arrested, and they can be your best support for that.
So let's say that you do go to the protest and you find yourself in the situation where you have been tear gassed. Is it okay to use milk?
Yeah, so tear gas is pretty terrifying. to be honest. And I think one of the best things to do is to just prepare yourself that this A is a possibility and not like a hypothetical. In most cities in the country now, they are probably going to use tear gas. And so from the tear gas, there are a couple things you should worry about. A, it's a projectile. Do not attempt to try to pick up the tear gas canister. Get away from it as fast as possible. If you do get hit by a tear gas canister, it can be very harmful. So, you know, at that point, if you are feeling a lot of symptoms or pain, I would consider going to an emergency room. If you do get in near tear gas, if it's possible, try to get away from it as soon as possible to fresh air. Don't be in enclosed space because the gas is an irritant. And the more you're concentrated your exposure is, the higher your symptoms are going to be. It's usually not lethal, and I say usually in quotations because there have been some cases where people who have severe respiratory issues, the irritant irritates their asthma or their lung issue, and so that can cause problems. But for the most part, it's a dispersion tool. It's not going to be lethal, but it can cause very severe irritating symptoms. You know, as far as the question around milk, I know many groups of street medics who do milk, some who do Malax. But for the most part, it's been unclear if those work at all. If you have a concoction that you know works for you, I would use it. But if you don't, just cold water is fine. And cold water is better than hot water because hot water will increase the irritation. Probably the biggest thing is if you wear contact lenses. If you're going to go to a protest, it's best to not wear your contact lenses because if the tear gas gets underneath the contact lens, it will cause even more irritation to your eye. And if you get tear gas on your hands or pepper spray on your hands and then you put them in your eye to get your contact lenses out, it will increase your irritation. So the best things are get to fresh air. If you can't get to fresh air, soaking a bandana in water or vinegar can sometimes help, and just try to get away from the source as soon as possible.
Why does vinegar help?
You know, it's unclear, and that's also, I would put it in the same category of like milk or Malox. It's thought that there's something the vinegar will filter out. I think more it's probably just the dampness of the bandana that will slow down the gas from getting into your lungs.
How scared should people be about being arrested and brought to jail right now?
Yeah, I would say, you know, being arrested is probably a very violent experience to begin with. It's clear that in times of COVID, people's ability to social distance and protect themselves from the virus will be severely limited by being arrested. It is up to the police, regardless of why you're arrested, that you still have civil liberties. The standard of care at this point is that they should provide you the ability to social distance and ability to protect yourself from the virus. So, you know, from that standpoint, this is the police's responsibility if they're going to arrest you. But as been shown in all these detention centers, oftentimes the police do not have our civil liberties at the primary of their interest. So as much as possible, try to maintain those standards of social distancing, of hand washing, if you do get arrested. And unfortunately, it is a fear that I think people, it would be appropriate to have at this point.
How dangerous are rubber bullets?
Yeah, so rubber bullets, I would say, are at close proximity very dangerous. You know, we don't see rubber bullets all the time here in the U.S., but places in France where they use them a lot more, definitely in Egypt, in Tahrir Square, it was used pervasively. In Ferguson and in other kind of larger riots that have happened here in this country, they've definitely used them. You know, these can, at close proximity, can act as a bullet. But the more dangerous thing is that many people have lost their eyes. You can have, especially facial damage, because there's less protection. So it is a risk. Yeah, they're not like a safe form of police protection. And so, you know, again, if you're going to go into a situation where you're potentially going to face police repression, shatter-resistant goggles can be really helpful.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you think people should know?
I don't have a word for what times we're in right now. And it's clear all the foundations of which our current world pre-March are somewhat gone. And I think a lot of us are striving to figure out what that means. Just taking the time to just sit and breathe and to just kind of ground yourself, because you can easily fall into holes of like Twitter streams and news streams. And yeah, it seems everywhere you go, there's some horrific thing that has happened, and that it is important to stay up to date on the news and important to stay up to date on what's going on, but also important to just take a rest, to breathe, to go for a walk, to just not feel like you have to be in this whole chaos of things that is going on, and to kind of respond to the situation as you feel best. If that means going out to the street protest, then that means that. If it means supporting people from home, then do that. If it means taking a break, I think that that's also totally okay in these times. And, you know, always know you can reach out to people, you know, people here at the sanctuary, your friends, your community, that this is a time that we need as many people in our circles as we can.